Well, grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The message today from the epistle was a reading of a letter that was sent by Paul to Timothy. Now, this letter is significant because it's at the very end of Paul's life. Paul knows his time is up, and he's about to be sacrificed by the Roman leadership. But rather than despair and complain and be morose, he writes his final words to Timothy. And his attempt is to strengthen the church, and by his words to strengthen each of us sitting here today. 2,000 years ago, Paul's writing to us, and he's giving us his last charge. And his charge is, would you please, please guard with every power that you might have the good deposit that I'm leaving you. And what is that good deposit? It's faith, and it's the gospel. Well, Paul was confronted with trials, and a little historical perspective, this was all occurring about 64, 65 AD, about 30 years after the death of Christ. The emperor's name was Nero, and at this exact same time, half of Rome burned down. Now, the historian Tacitus said Nero set the fire. Well, that got about, and Nero said, no, I didn't set that fire. The Christians set it, and they must pay. They destroyed our town. And on top of that, Nero hated, he resented the concept of Christians. He hated our concept of love. He hated that. He compassion didn't fit. He didn't like equality. That issue he hated. Anything dealing with hope and salvation was so foreign to him that his only way of solving this was the incredibly cruel treatment of the Christians. And around 65, 66 AD, Paul had to pay the price. And that's when he was killed in Rome. So the message is, guard the good deposit, guard your faith. Now here's something I think we can maybe all agree with. Faith is not something that you conjure up on your own. It's handed down. It's a gift from God through his word, and it is delivered. See if this works for you. This message of faith is delivered to you by your parents, perhaps, or your grandparents, or maybe a pastor or a teacher, or maybe it was just a friend of yours. And the question is, how many of us sitting here can look back in time and thank God for somebody who shared their faith? Maybe it's a wife who is sharing her faith with her husband or with a child. It is the person that draws them to Christ, draws them to church. It creates, it's a part of a living chain. That's right, a chain that connects future generations from now to the future. It's a method of us passing on our beliefs to those who come after us. Now, you know, this topic of faith, we talk a lot about it, and of course, our confirmands are well briefed up on what faith is. They just had to study six, eight, I don't know how many weeks they've been studying, but they know that faith has to be nurtured. It has to be kept alive. It has to be fanned into flame. And we know the temptation that confront all of you here every day. Something that wants to instill a spirit of fear, of which Paul says, I don't want to hear that. There is no fear in our religion. There is only faith. And the Spirit and the Holy Spirit keeps, and you've heard me say this many times before, the Holy Spirit keeps your faith alive. It keeps it strong and active. Now, because of how long I've been here with you, I realize, and I painfully acknowledge, that we've lost some people who used to sit in these pews with us. We've seen young people come up to the altar and profess their everlasting love and concern and strength for Christ in our church, and now they don't come through that door. They have turned their back and walked away, which is heartbreaking for me, and I know for you. But this is why we have to continually stir up this gift, this gospel flame. It's not for us. It's not for me. It's not for Vic or Don. It's for those kids. It's for those kids. And that one up there. It's the chain, it's the communication, it's the respect, it's the love, it's the embracing of the Spirit and love of Christ in their lives. And if we do not accomplish that, then we are lost. That's why we must stir up the Spirit. Now, as the vicar is quick to acknowledge and tell everyone, I just recently turned 80, and he's so kind. You know, and the one thing I've noticed, though, about turning 80 is that everybody else who's 80 seems a lot older than me. I don't know why that is. And you do recognize, huh? Maybe. And when you start looking back, the one term, I don't really feel comfortable with the term good old days. They were okay. But you know, they weren't much different. We had problems. We had issues. We had things in our society that weren't perfect. And they were challenging. And yet the older we get, the one question that many of us have here today is, what's going to happen when we're gone? What's going to happen to Concordia Lutheran Church when we're gone? And the older you become, the more you think about the future. And then you ask this question: have you done enough for your church? Did you? And yet, here's the point I want to give you to dwell on this week. Have we, as a group, have we tried to accomplish tasks by being silent? Are we waiting for other people from somewhere else to solve our problems and direct our issues? Now, today, thanks to the tireless efforts of our elders, they have been working diligently trying to find pastoral leadership for us. But at some point, we all must come to grips, as we did many, many years ago, that no synod, no district, no assembly is going to help us. All the power we have or we need is in this house today. Can we not raise up in the future our own pastors from our own people? We've got the talent. We've got the people. We've got the leadership. Can we not do that? Are we willing to encourage and to mentor and to support those to help and lead our church? In Paul's letter, it's clear. He said, by the Holy Spirit, guard the good deposit. And that's the saving truth of the gospel. Now, I'm not telling you anything new today. You know and I know that this treasure that we have is under attack. It's under attack by false teachings, by apathy, by, unfortunately, physical attacks. But here's the point I want to make. Our calling is not to force us to change our message. We're not here to water down what we believe. We're not going to hide it. We're not going to guard it so you can't see it. We're going to proclaim it, and we're going to pass it on to our children and those who are our friends. And Joyce, here's your good news. Here it comes. We do not guard this treasure in our own strength. It is guarded by the Holy Spirit who dwells in each and every one of us here. God Himself keeps His Word alive in this church, even in the face of suffering. Remember the faith. Pass it on. Pass it on. The Lord who called many of us to baptism here in this place, got to remember, folks, He died for you. He rose again for you. And He has promised each and every one of us that He will never, ever abandon you. He's with you always. The gospel will always shine through this church here at Concordia, and it's going to shine throughout the world. until he comes and returns in glory. In the name of Jesus, may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep and guard your hearts and minds in faith through Christ Jesus. Amen.